This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio in London or online at funkidslive.com.
Chemistry and art with the Royal Society of Chemistry.
So I'm here at the British Museum with school. We're looking at art through the ages, you see. Today, we're learning about the ancient Greeks. Now, I like Greek salad and would love to go to a nice Greek beach for my holiday, but this art isn't exactly floating my boat.
Chemistry superhero to the rescue! Come on, Karina! This is brilliant!
Yeah, I know chemistry is exciting, but what's exciting about a load of boring statues and manky old pots?
You are joking, aren't you? Greek art is packed with chemistry. Wanna see? First thing you've got to understand is that Greece isn't just like one bit of land. Greece is made up of lots of islands reaching towards other countries.
Wow, loving this island. Sunny skies and blue seas.
We're on one of the southern Aegean islands 7,000 years ago. These islands are on important trade routes, and Greek artists are able to get hold of lots of useful materials to help them create colourful art and make frescoes.
Tescos?
No, frescoes. They're pictures that are painted onto wet plaster. As the plaster dries, the paint is absorbed by the plaster and chemical changes in it make the colour stick. Basically, a cool way to make a picture that really lasts. Because minerals are normally gathered from the ground, you're stuck with the colours you get from the land around you. For the Greeks, the most common colours around them were white, black, orangey-brown and yellow. However, they were also lucky enough to be able to get hold of all sorts of other colours from passing traders. Azurite and Egyptian blue for blues, hematite or iron oxide for reds, limestone for white.
Where are all the pots? The museum was full of Greek pots.
You're right! Greek art is famous for painted pots. Clay from the earth is heated and the heat causes the molecules to become hardened. But while a lot of clay is hard enough for pots, some, well,
isn't. So where do all the pots come from?
Well, let's leap forward a couple of thousand years to 500 BCE and welcome to Corinth, a city-state famous for its pots. This is a time when all sorts of luxurious pots were being made, and many were painted with decorations of mythical creatures and animals.
Not exactly using a lot of colours, is he, though? It's like all red and black. That's cool, I guess. I was just expecting a little more colour. How do they also last for thousands of years? I mean, they look almost exactly like they do in the museum, right?
Chemistry? During this period, two different techniques were used for vase painting. An early method was to paint figures onto the vases with liquid clay. And then when heated in a kiln, that's a special type of oven, the clay figures would turn a glossy black.
A bit like how your food changes colour when it's cooked. Like a steak, brown on the outside but redder in the middle.
Exactly! And so another method that the Greeks used was to scratch their designs into pots to reveal the red body of the vase underneath, making the images really stand out. But it wasn't just the cooking time that made a difference to the colour. Greeks found that varying the amount of air in a kiln also affected the colour.
So the air was part of the chemical change too. What? The oxygen, right?
Exactly! Oh, come on, I've got one more thing to show you. This is pretty. It looks like a cool bathroom. I mean, there's lots of tiny tiles making a beautiful pattern of a hunt. There are animals and hunters. Whoops! Looks like they've forgotten their clothes. We're in Pella around 300 BCE, and this tiled floor is called a mosaic.
Hey, I've heard of them. You can make them with all sorts of materials, right?
Sure can, but this is where it all started. Mosaics were invented by the ancient Greeks. Tiny pebbles and pieces of glass or clay were placed in tessellating patterns. Tessellating means they go together without any holes, but if you don't stick them together...
Man, they've gone everywhere.
Dude needs some glue.
Dude needs some chemistry, you mean? The Greeks experimented and found that mixing a material called lime with volcanic ash and then wetting this substance made a type of cement. It's a chemical reaction that causes the cement to change its properties, and it's so tough that some of it has lasted to this day.
He's one cool chemist.
Like other ancient cultures, they might not have understood the exact chemical processes, but by getting to know the properties of the materials and experimenting, they managed to produce the amazing art we can still see to this day in museums. Talking of which, we better get you back.
That was so cool. But some of the things here look kind of different to the way they did back in time. Like, I'm sure the statues looked more colourful back in Pella and Corinth.
That's the effect of time, heat and light on the pigments in the paint. Scientists today have access to really powerful microscopes and can identify colours from traces of minerals found, showing us that these statues would have been much more colourful.
But the pots and frescoes are amazingly bright. Crazy when you think how old they are.
Yep, certainly is, Potty. Ooh, looks like your class is moving. Well, I better move too. Catch you later.
Bye, Chemistry.
Chemistry and Art with the Royal Society of Chemistry. Find out more and get hands-on with chemistry at funkidslive.com/chemistry.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio in London or online at funkidslive.com.